You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are watching and listening to the Financial Survival Network. Well, today on July 19th, gold down slightly by the end of the day, and silver down over 2% on the spot market, nearly 2.5%. What is going on here? Should you be concerned, or is it just a setup? Squeeze out the weak holders. We've seen it over and over and over again. Well, here to opine is our good friend, Gary Wagner. And Gary, it's so great to have you back on with us. And hey, what's your opinion of the gold price? Up, down, sideways, or it doesn't matter anymore? It's irrelevant. What do you think?
First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. I think that gold should be rising. I'm not so concerned about the day-to-day noise. The fact of the matter is we have very, very good support right around 1800. Just below that is the 100-day moving average. On a technical basis, we've seen it challenge that those lows, but come right back off of the lows. I personally think that the long-term fundamentals at play at some point, I don't know when, but at some point have to kick in and have to move gold higher. And the fundamental point that I'm talking about most of all is that we have seen dollar strength. However, if we continue to get more and more inflation, and as we talked about pre-show, right now, the CPI, the numbers came out last week, inflation on an annual basis, 5.4%, highest since 2008. The PCE, which is what the Federal Reserve uses as their benchmark tool, it strips out food, takes out energy, that's at 3.4%. That means that every time you go to buy a loaf of bread or a gallon of gas, it costs you more. That's the definition to me of inflation, when the dollar doesn't give me as much value in terms of goods and services. Now, if you have that kind of prolonged pressure with inflationary pressures continuing to grow or stay stable, in other words, not be temporary as the Fed assumes it will, the dollar by virtue has to go lower because it's buying less. It's actually worth less. So why would the value go up? If that's the case, you're going to see gold rise.
Right. So if the loss of the dollar's purchasing power isn't transitory, and notice they switch from that word because everyone got sick of it. If it in fact is not temporary, that's what they're using now, and it's more of a longer term trend, then, and all currencies are in the same boat here. Let's face it. It's not just the greenback. It's every currency known to man because they're all fiat and they're all doing the same games. So it's your opinion. It all comes down to the opinion. It just reminds me of that Clinton deposition. It all depends on the meaning of what is. And
right.
It all depends on the meaning of temporary, what temporary is, right?
Absolutely. And as I said, I agree with certain components of his statement, but here's what I find most alarming. The Federal Reserve, their balance sheet right now broke $8 trillion this month, $8 trillion. Our national debt is either at or above $30 trillion. That's with a T, not with a B. $30 trillion, the largest national debt in the history of the United States, the largest asset sheet balance in the United States. And what alarms me most is that we had Janet Yellen, the Secretary Treasury of the United States, go to Congress. This was about 2 weeks back. And she said that if we don't raise the debt ceiling, in other words, allow greater amounts of debt and that national debt to grow, I can't pay the bills. And she said, never in history, and which is true, has the United States not paid its debt in terms of at least the interest on the debt. And so that to me is alarming. In other words, if the Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling, we can't pay our bills. That would be a travesty. That would sink the dollar. I can't conceive of any scenario in which that would actually occur. First of all, they won't let that happen. It never has. But the point that she is saying that we have to raise it, and I believe it was President Trump that put a cap on the debt ceiling while he was in office. So they've got to remove that to actually go ahead and raise it. That's one thing that is alarming. The other thing is some of the things that Chairman Jerome Powell said during testimony to Congress last week in the FOMC meeting the week prior to that. And he said that, listen, inflation is definitely higher than we anticipated. So he's acknowledging that these high numbers are more than the Federal Reserve really thought they would see. He also said that we are on an unsustainable path, which is clear cut. You just can't spend more than you make. And those to me are very alarming statements by the Federal Reserve, as well as Janet Yellen. It's telling us that we're getting ourselves into such a deep hole. We've been in a deep hole. It's getting deeper, so to speak. And that is worrisome.
So the case for gold becomes more compelling by the day, Gary.
I believe so. I won't say baffled, but I will say that I'm not seeing the usual A plus B equals C connections that we learn in just basic economics. Tell you that if this happens, this should happen. We're not seeing those types of correlations. For example, today with yields, the 10-year note went down dramatically, and yet gold was down at the same time. That's something you wouldn't expect, because typically, as yields were going up in the 10-year note, we saw tremendous pressure in gold as it went down. So it was very sensitive to moves up, but why is it not sensitive to moves down?
Good question. I'm sure there's an answer to it, but it involves conspiracy theory and other evil things that we just don't want to get into, Gary. But we both have our opinions about that, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the 10-year yield drops, which effectively leaves negative real interest rates going higher to like 3.7 or 3.8, maybe as almost as high as 4%. And gold goes down. Well, gee, that makes total sense to me.
Yep. It's a interesting time we live in.
Yes, that's for sure. So where are rates heading? Can they keep them this low artificially forever?
I don't think that what we're seeing here is artificial. I think what we saw when 10-year notes were ticking up to 1.7 was because, for example, we saw record highs in U.S. equities last week. Then they flattened out. Now they've been under pressure for a few days. And what they were doing is market participants had a market sentiment that was looking, 6 months forward, saying, okay, we're in this condition now, but 6 months from now, largely we'll see the U.S. open back up and business will be thriving. Of course, globally, we know that it's not the same everywhere. So you've got that working for you. And to me, when it goes down, where it's at, like the 10-year note's at 1.3, it more realistically reflects the fact that Fed funds rate, and that's the overnight rate that the central banks charge banks to get money, is between 0.25%. That hasn't moved, and it's not going to move this year. It probably won't move to 2022. So when we see it down at 1.3, I think what we're seeing now is a more realistic reflection of what interest rates should be. I think that when they were up around 1.7, it was under the belief that the Fed was going to start ratcheting up rates. They were going to start tapering their asset purchases. And Chairman Powell made it very, very clear that that's not going to happen, because what they're doing right now is they have a dual mandate: keep inflation at 2% and have maximum employment. They kind of adjusted their mandate to say, we want maximum employment and we're having issues with that, so let's let inflation run hot. And as they did that, I think that we'll see continued inflationary pressures. The question is, Will we see a large portion of unemployed Americans go back to work? The first thing that comes to mind is in September, the extra benefits from the government for the unemployment insurance is going to end. Will that be enough of a kick in the behind, so to speak, to get people back to work? Because right now they say that there are many Americans that are getting paid more by being at home than going to work. And so will we see a resurgence then? But the thing is maximum employment is still a far way away. And that's what the Federal Reserve is really focusing on very tightly.
Mm-hmm. So what's your opinion on employment? Are we heading in the right direction here?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Today's show is brought to you by GR Silver Mining, ticker symbol TSX, GRSL, OTC, GRSLF, and their website at grsilvermining.com. The company is extremely well capitalized, currently has a resource of 40 million ounces of silver, and is looking to triple that number in just the next year alone. Its management team is first rate, headed up by Marcio Fonseca, a geologist with vast experience in mining operations and the financial sector as well. With all this going forward, and with silver trading over $25 the ounce, there's no telling how high GR Silver Mining will go. So go to grsilvermining.com to stay up to date on the latest developments and get on their notification list today.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
We are, with a caveat, I think what we saw is when the recession hit, and that came from a global pandemic, businesses streamlined. There was a large portion of the workforce went home, but large corporations largely readjusted the way they operate where they need fewer employees. And so I think that full employment is not going to be at the same level than full employment was the pre-COVID days, because a lot of companies have really gone to an automated process. I heard of some of the fast food chains going to systems where robots are flipping the hamburgers, so to speak. If they're going to take more and more people out of the workforce due to technology, then full employment's not going to look like full employment did 2 years ago. Right. And so that's one caveat that you need to consider.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the less need for labor, less of a market. Did you read that article that Amazon now lets computers fire drivers for not being productive enough?
No, I did not.
So basically, this guy said, hey, I was a great employee. I delivered everything, but the algorithm didn't agree. And they fired him. And
wow.
And they couldn't even say why. They said, well, you know, the computer said. And it's like, oh, the computer said, well, I say. And there was no appeal, no nothing. So if Amazon can basically sub out their HR function to an algorithm, then no job in the world is safe. You know, you got to be able to appeal it. You got to know. I mean, it seems to me he's got a good lawsuit here for wrongful termination, because you got to know. You have to tell someone why you're firing them. You can't just say the computer said you're a sucky worker, right?
Right. And it also isn't the first report of Amazon working their workers almost like indentured servants. I'm not going to say a slave, but an indentured servant. They have to do so much in such a given time. The other thing that you want to realize is their plants are highly automated. The robots go and pick the components, and then there's workers that put it on the line and put them in boxes and such. But what's going to happen when there is no need for drivers, because the Amazon trucks are driverless? They're autonomous trucks driving across the country and delivering things to their substations. We're going to that, whether it's a year from now or 2 years from now, there will be a time when I believe Amazon will not have trucks that require drivers. Well, actually, at first, there'll be a driver that sits there to monitor it, but that will slowly get phased out.
Mm-hmm. You know, they'll have drone deliveries. Let's face it, people to these companies are just needless expenses, expenditures to be reduced at every opportunity. And unless there's some economic boom, I mean, even look, one thing really interesting, nobody's really mentioned this, but Tesla, it's really the first new industrial company in America in a long time. You know, mm-hmm. So they started outsourcing. And yeah, granted, they are producing cars now in China. They're going to be producing in Berlin, but still primarily US-based manufacturer. But you look at what's going on in their factories, and it's like, I think they got machines dressed up as people. You can't tell them apart. You know, it's highly, highly automated. And the handwriting's on the wall that this is only going to continue.
It's actually, if you look at the schematics of a Tesla plant, to me, it looks like a schematic of a microchip. You're absolutely correct. It's almost fully automated. The other thing with Tesla is they're moving into their driverless trucks, first the pickups, then their large semis. And then down the loop, they've got an electric plane that they're looking to work with and bring to market. So we've got a lot of technology coming out of Tesla. It's a true disruptor in terms of a corporation. I'm a big fan of Elon Musk, and I believe that he sees the future in a way that many other people do not. I think that he values his employees, but the ones at the top, the ones that are the engineers that are involved in getting him from A to B. And A to B is to produce, I believe it's 400 watts per battery, which is what is needed to build a effective airplane that can be totally electric. And as that technology continues to grow and he brings his truck to market and then his large freight truck to market, we're going to see a tremendous change in the number of drivers that are needed in the U.S. that are crisscrossing the nation on a daily basis. That's a huge workforce if you combine it with all of the different companies, including something like a UPS or a FedEx, that are crisscrossing the country every day. We're talking tens of thousands, if not 100,000 plus. I don't have the numbers, but it's a large number of drivers. What happens?
Largest number of employees in the country, largest workforce participation are drivers, both truck drivers and car drivers, taxi drivers, all that. Now, I don't know how close realistically fully self-driving is to the point where, you know, it's like that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Total Recall, and he gets into the Johnny cab and
it's
a plastic dummy sitting in the front seat, which makes no sense because they would have gotten rid of that guy because they could get more passengers in. But be that as it may, for whatever reason, they needed the Johnny and the Johnny cab. And we're not quite there yet. It could be 5 years. It could be 10 years. It almost doesn't matter, Gary, because the idea is there. So it's going to happen.
Correct. It's not if, but when. I think that what we'll see in terms of autonomous driving is that when you consider the algorithms necessary to drive city streets, it is so complex with so many different nuances, that's going to take time. However, interstate driving, where they're getting on I-75 and they're going from Michigan to Florida, or the ones that are going from east to west, west to east, those are pretty clear cut. And now that Biden has, all you're going to need really when those trucks start going is when they get to the supercharging station, is to see whether or not that's automated or if they'll need somebody to plug into the truck.
They might need a driver to go take it the final mile into the city, right?
Right. That's where the difficulty lies. But going on the interstate, that is almost, I would say, complete. There's still some issues, but there's not that much to do. Stay in a lane and move at a certain speed.
Well, you know, along those lines, you could get a monkey to do it, right? But like my brother once said, you could get a monkey to play Beethoven, but the monkey won't know that he's playing Beethoven. He's just doing stuff to get food, right?
So, right.
I think we're a ways. It could easily, but like we said, it almost doesn't matter when it happens. It really does. If it's now or if it's in 3 to 5 years, it's going to happen. Because it has to happen. Unfortunately, it's the AI revolution, right?
Absolutely correct.
All right. Well, you're just a bundle of inspiration today, Gary. Just give us something here to hang our hats on to feel good about.
Gold. I think that gold is going to move up. The chart that I have on the screen shows you where it is at. But I also have some of my long-term projections. And this will be something that I think your subscriber base will be happy to hear. Now, this is a multi-year projection based on major Elliott waves that says that we entered a fourth wave when we hit that double bottom at the end, the beginning of March and the end of March this year. And what we're seeing right now is a move. This is just a dip, this recent correction. But I'm looking for $2,200 per ounce gold, say within a year, maybe a year and a half. Timelines are hard to predict, but I believe that the day of $1,800 gold, which is what we're looking at, is going to be short played. And I think that a year from now, when you and I are sitting and discussing gold, it'll be either at or above $2,000 per ounce.
All right. Well, I thank you. My portfolio thanks you, Gary. My kids' portfolios thank you. And we'll see if you're right. You know what Yogi Berra used to say about prediction is really tough, especially about the future.
And, absolutely.
And you're in the business. You've been pretty good at it. I think it's interesting going back to our chart here, and you see it on the screen, that that 100-day moving average, it's holding tight for now. One of the biggest fake-out patterns is when it'll break that kind of moving average and then go right below it and hover there for a while and then go back. Could be a sign that it's going to take off, but I'm not making any predictions. I'll save that for you. But look, if you've got a, Gary, just tell us your website, how we get to it, how we sign up.
Sure. We offer a 14-day free trial, thegoldforecast.com, all one word. You just sign up. There's no charge for it. You can try it out for a couple of weeks. See if it has value for you. If it has value, stay on as a subscriber. If you don't think it has value, you can watch the weekend review at no charge. Always. We always provide that to the public.
All right. And it's a very good read there, too. Good listen, good watch. And you'll be happy you did. If you got a question for Gary about the price of gold or where he sees these economic metrics, why don't you send us an email. I'll forward it off to him. It's KL@KerryLutz.com. Sign up for a free newsletter, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Gary, always a pleasure. Love talking to you. You be well.
You be well also. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.